This morning, by way of our invitation, I thought I would spend just a few moments identifying myself as the world sees me, personally, as a preacher of the gospel of Christ. Some of the things that I have said, some of the things that I've written, are not well received by those who are in the world. That's something that I'm sure you are aware. For example, I have taught and preached about the rule of law, taking that from Romans the 13th chapter and other places. And as a result of that, someone who holds to the idea of the rule of law is termed as one who is racist. It may be with regard to the immigration issues concerning our southern border. It may be with regard to rioting in the streets. But if you deign to speak against that as a violation of law, it makes you, in the eyes of some, to be a racist. There have been a number of times in my preaching that I have preached against homosexuality, that it is a sin. Not talking about orientation, but the action of homosexuality. And of course, there are various issues that have arisen and been added to that particular agenda in our society today. Now it's considered an LGBTQ A plus, I think, and the plus means there's a whole lot of others. But that agenda is present in the world, and as a result of that, if I speak against that in any way, and I have in my preaching and in my writing, I'm considered a bigot. And in fact, there are those who would object to me as a bigot because I teach that marriage is for a man and a woman for a lifetime, and that same-sex marriage should not be considered as lawful in the eyes of God. If I have the audacity, which I do quite often, to criticize sin, there are individuals who will say that I'm judgmental, will call me judgmental, and they'll quote from the book of Matthew, "Judge not, lest you be judged," as if they're experts on the subject. And as a result of that, Christ himself calls for tolerance, in effect, of sin. If I preach the truth just by having the audacity to criticize sin at all, it's called hate speech. And so I'm one who is a purveyor of hate speech. And I express that hate speech just about every time that I open my mouth as a gospel preacher. If I talk about the roles of women as expressed by Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 in his letters to Timothy, then I am a misogynist. And there are many who would say that Stan Cox is a misogynist, and here is the evidence, and they would point to any sermon that I might preach or any article that I might teach. And then, if I say that the creation account in Genesis chapter 1 is a true account, then I am called ignorant, that I am anti-science, that it is ridiculous. That's just an old-time superstition. I'm a superstitious person. If I go so far as to say not only is the biblical account of creation true, but that requires a young earth, a relatively young earth, then that means I am unqualified to serve in any office as a result of such ignorance and anti-science. And those things have been advocated for others. I'm not saying that I'm well-known out there. For those who do know me and have that attitude, that certainly will be the case. If I admit to being a fundamentalist, and what is meant by a fundamentalist in the world today is I believe in the inspired word of God and that we must live our lives by it, then I am certainly an extremist. And I am an individual who must be fought against and an individual that the world must be concerned about. If I advocate for biblical morals, that I'm just out of touch. And as a result of that, a danger to our society and a danger to our democracy. Now, I want you to know that doesn't bother me too much. I could go on and give probably other things in the list. That's just the short list that I wrote down for your consideration. But it doesn't bother me a great deal because I know that I preach and teach to individuals who believe as I do. And for the most part, from day to day, if I come into contact with individuals, for the most part, it is that I am talking with and being around Christians. And so it's not a big deal. But it can be something that is very difficult for others. Whether it be because you're working a secular job, because you are working with secular people, because you are being educated in our secular schools, it may be that these kinds of names you have been called as well, and they can certainly be hurtful. They can certainly lead individuals to quiet their proclamation of truth, to be less than willing to be one who expresses himself and testifies concerning the gospel of Christ. To summarize, if you do so, you may be known as a hate-filled, ignorant, extreme, bigoted, racist, and misogynist person who must be stopped in our society today. And that's the way the world in general looks at us. But it's not just us that they looked at that way. Do you know that, for example, the Christians in the first century had the claim made against them that they were cannibals because they partook of the Lord's Supper? The emblems, the bread signifying the body of Christ and the fruit of the vine signifying the blood of Jesus Christ. And there were claims that actually that there was an engaging in cannibalism. Another thing that was said about Christians in the first century is that they were sexually perverted. There was something that was practiced that was called love feasts. And as a result of that, individuals thought that some Christians would come together and they would basically have an orgy and they would engage in sexual perversion. They would get drunk. They would be gluttonous. All of those bad things. And it was a perversion of what actually happened. But it was how the world looked at them, how the world knew them. They were considered a new sect. And a perversion of the law because they were teaching that certain things were not required. And there was a whole segment of society that opposed them and even persecuted them because of what it was that they believed and what it was that they practiced. There's a final point that I want to make by way of our invitation, and that is that that's what they did to Jesus too. Jesus, you will remember, was called a wine bibber and a glutton because he ate and he drank with sinners and contrasted with the austere life that John the Baptist lived, for example. He was called a blasphemer because he called himself the Son of God, thus making himself equal with God. And the Jews had an issue with that. He was called, or the claim was, that the ability that he had to cast out demons was of the power of Beelzebub, which was an illogical and a silly argument that was made. Nevertheless, it appealed to many that, yes, Jesus had this ability, but the ability did not come from God, but it came from the devil himself. He was called a violator of the law because he had the audacity to heal on the Sabbath day and not to condemn his disciples as they walked through the fields and they got the grain in their hand and rubbed it so that they might eat. He was called an insurrectionist in the idea that he called himself the Christ, the coming King of Israel. And we are told that individuals actually made that claim that he's trying to basically throw down either the Jewish nation or throw down the Roman Empire in what it was that he was doing. And he was called the leader of an insolent sect. A sect of the way, making those claims, leading individuals astray, really causing problems in our society. And so that was the society of the first century. And I want you to know that the names that they were called and the attitude that the world in general had against them is very similar to what we see today concerning them and concerning Jesus himself. I want to read to you a passage from Matthew chapter 10. We're going to begin with verse 21 of the text and go down through verse 26. This particular occasion was when the disciples were being sent out to preach the gospel to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And what Jesus told them was, "Brother will deliver up his brother unto death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, and you will be hated all by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for a disciple to be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? And therefore, do not fear them. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Brethren, we can understand it. If Jesus was despised while he lived upon this earth, certainly if we take up his mantle and we believe and contend for the same things, we call ourselves disciples of Christ, the world will be very much antagonistic toward us as it was toward them. And so the question comes in, how do we conduct ourselves in the midst of such? I'm going to leave you with a passage from 1 Peter chapter 2. And verses 11 and 12. One that you're familiar with. One that I have used from time to time before. He says there, again, 1 Peter 2 and verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against the soul, and have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak evil against you, or speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. All of these things are said about us. And I wonder if people are amazed. I remember a number of years ago that a congregation in Odessa, Texas, was having difficulties with regard to the fellowship issue. And the elders and the preacher asked Tom Roberts to go and preach for them. And some of them were very upset about that, because of what he stood for and what he taught. And he went to them and was with them for 4 or 5 days. And one of them came up to me and said, "Wow, you're nothing like I thought you were. You're a nice guy. And you're teaching from God's word." And there was just so much that had been said about him that in reality it wasn't nearly like people said that it was. That has happened to me as well. I remember that there was a couple, they're no longer here, they live in Arkansas now, but when she came, there were people from where she came that said, "Don't go to that west side." They thought she was going to West Side in Irving when she moved into the area. When they found out she was going to West Side in Fort Worth, that's where that Stan Cox preaches. "Don't go there because of other ungodliness that he is guilty of, and all the things that he has said about a particular institution and a particular issue." And so she came up to me and she said, "What do you think about this? Is it true?" And I said, I don't want to try to defend myself. Just go and read what I wrote." And so she went and read what I wrote about it, the things that they were talking about. She said, "Well, I agree with every bit of it. It's not nearly as bad as what they said it is." And that's just the way it is when individuals oppose what you have to do. There are ad hominem attacks that were given against our Lord, and they'll be given against us. But if we live righteously and strive to do what is right, and we're gentle and we're kind and we're loving and we express our love to others and we do our very best to emulate Christ himself, those individuals who claim that we are evil, well, we are told there in that text that they'll have to acknowledge our justness when they see the works that we have done. And so let's strive always to do what is right. We ask forgiveness and call for repentance when we have done wrong. But let us esteem others as highly as we can, strive to do the best that we can for others, but never ever compromise what it means to be a child of God. If there is anyone here in our number today that wants to become a child of God at this time, we offer ourselves to you. If there is anything that is amiss in your life that we can encourage you or help you with, we offer the invitation and ask that you come now while either we stand and while we sing.